Talks, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace in Georgia.
Oh, hear us when we cry to thee.
Ceremonies honoring former President Jimmy Carter began today. CBS's Christian Benavides has more.
6 days of tribute. At the hospital in Americus, Georgia, where current and former Secret Service agents carried his casket to the hearse. The procession then traveled through Carter's rural hometown of Plains, Georgia, where well-wishers lined the route to pay their respects.
From there, the procession made the four-hour trip to Atlanta and the Carter Center, where the former president's son and grandson addressed an audience. This evening, people in Atlanta are paying their respects.
I'm Jim Crisul in Atlanta. The Carter Presidential Center says it can handle as many as 2,000 people per hour to pay respects to former President Jimmy Carter. His body will lie in repose at the center until early Tuesday morning, when it will be flown to the nation's capital for an official state funeral Thursday.
Ahead of the funeral, Carter will lie in state at the Capitol in Washington. After his funeral mass at the National Cathedral, he'll be flown back to his hometown of Plains, Georgia, where he will be buried. This was no lazy Saturday for House Republicans. CBS's Nicole Killian explains.
Speaker Mike Johnson convened House Republicans for a retreat Saturday. The strategy session focused on President-elect Trump's agenda, which ranges from securing the border to extending tax cuts. The speaker has indicated that the House GOP plans to use a process called budget reconciliation to expedite Trump's priorities. That requires a simple majority to pass legislation.
The Senate will convene on Monday. A source tells Reuters New Orleans' new bollard system would not have stopped this week's truck attack. The system was down Wednesday morning. It was being replaced. The attacker drove around a parked police SUV to get onto Bourbon Street. CBS's Omar Villafranca says the attack has prompted new warnings.
Federal agencies have now put out a bulletin warning of possible copycat or retaliatory attacks.
Investigators say they found bomb-making materials while searching the truck attacker's home in Houston, including chemicals, filters, and thermometers. Ford Motor Company has issued a recall. CBS's Christine Lazar has details.
Ford is recalling nearly 300,000 diesel-powered F-Series trucks. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says the fuel pumps may fail and cause a loss of power, increasing the risk of a crash. Ford says so far it is unaware of any accidents or injuries caused by the issue. Owners of the recalled vehicles can get a free repair at Ford dealerships.
Again, to stress, Ford says no reports of any accidents or injuries caused by the issue that has prompted that recall. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If it's local music from Wisconsin, it's heard here. This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
7:03 in Wisconsin. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Max Inc. Radio, original local music from Wisconsin. Jimmy K, Terry Barr, and
Hello.
Rob Roberts hanging out with you.
I gotta tell you, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with my hands on this side of the glass.
I know.
I don't.
If you were,
there's no buttons to push over here.
If you were driving the bus tonight or producing, the microphones would have not been left on during the commercial break last hour.
Yeah, my husband texted. Maybe. He's like, uh-oh.
Oh, that's well. All right.
Yeah, he laughed. He thought it was hilarious.
But that's what's great. It's live, local radio.
It
that's
is. Right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He just texted me back again and said, that was hilarious.
Excellent.
It was funny.
Good.
Thanks, Brian.
Good off-air conversation. It was on air. Hey, let's kick the hour off with a double dip of an 11-year-old superstar, shall we?
Yes, please.
She's playing a show at the Cargo Coffee Shop on Friday, January 17th, and the person playing with her will be our guest at 7:30. Here is Paige Kleber and her song Blinded. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
I couldn't get up in the morning. I couldn't admit that I was crying. Couldn't call for help, couldn't be myself when you were around. Couldn't understand why you weren't such a man when I was down. To think you loved me. might say that you were wrong. Think you loved me. Think you cared for me. If you couldn't. Couldn't quite ask, were you up to the task for me? But I should have known, I have always grown, I couldn't see.
Sync on Civic Media. We are local music. That's Paige Kleber there. And these days, Blinded as part of the Double Dip. And Paige, you could go see her play performing live on the 17th at the Cargo Coffee East here in Madison with Rihanna Marie, who's going to be our guest in just a couple of minutes.
She's in studio already.
She is fun.
It's like the whole family's here.
Yeah. Mom's here. You gotta love it.
Your wife and child just walked in,
right? I know, right?
You're in trouble.
everybody's here tonight.
This is good.
Yeah.
This is good.
Jimmy K, Rob Roberts, Terry Barr, hanging out with you across the Civic Media Radio Network. If you don't have the app, perhaps put that on your phone. You could take us anywhere you want.
I love that app. It does so many things.
I do, too.
CivicMedia.us.
It's so easy.
Let's see here. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, like I said, Rihanna's here. Next hour, Rocker is going to join us on air. Talk about what happened with him and how he's recovering. And I understand Kevin Wilmot, the owner of the Gamma Ray, is also going to join us,
Terry.
The
Gamma Ray Bar in Madison, where everything happened. And I guess we could say it changed Rocker's life.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. He's going to tell us how he's doing. But he also, you know, he can't sit still. And he needs to, at least for a little bit.
For a minute, yeah.
But his brain is already like, okay, what can I do? What can I do? And he's already got a plan to do something else to help. So there we go.
That's excellent. That's all coming up. That's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. You know, I did something kind of exciting on Friday.
Kind of exciting. Just so you know, Terry, it wasn't exciting. It was just kind of exciting.
It was really exciting.
Okay.
It was really exciting.
First of all, don't hold back.
I had the pleasure and the honor of doing the Maxine preview with John and Gordy.
I saw that on the Instagram
on Friday morning. Yeah. So typically Rocker does this, but I filled in for this week. I think I'm doing it again this coming Friday.
I think you need to, because I'm not getting up that early.
I was thinking the same thing.
First of all,
so that is your job now. I'm designating you.
I love doing radio, but
I know you
it was really intimidating coming in and being a being a guest of John and Gordy, because those two guys have been in Madison radio forever.
And you said you're a big fan.
I told
John. Were you
John,
fanning? Were you like a fanboy?
I used to listen to John Peterson when I was like in seventh and eighth grade going to school on the school bus on my Walkman.
Well, he was doing that little selfie thing too behind the glass.
Oh,
you know, he was just like, you know.
Of course.
Of course he was. Of course he was.
I asked him for autographs five times and they declined every time. So maybe he was asking where I wanted them to sign it.
You might. Oh. Okay, never mind. Otherwise, I was just going to say, print a photo and have them sign the photo, but
that'd be perfect.
Whatever you were going to say.
It wasn't on his Hawaiian shirt.
No.
And so anyway, that was cool. Then right after that, I had a meeting with the salespeople here at Civic Media, because as you know, I'm a small business owner myself.
Absolutely.
And so I'm doing some advertising here on Civic Media my small business, Hotel K Pet Sitting and Dog Walking. You can find more information about that at freebellyrubs.com.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I just want to take a moment. You know, I'm super excited about this because we have a great crew of pet sitters, and we've been in business for quite a long time. We've built a really large clientele here in Madison, which I'm super proud of.
And you're great at what you do, Jimmy.
We have fun doing what we do.
Well, you smile about your job and what you do and the people you have employed.
Well, how
I mean,
can
it's
you
incredible.
Not? Dog walks.
I think it's super cute, too. Follow you on Instagram, because there's always another dog, another cat, another dog, and you're giving belly rubs, and they're having a ball.
And the pictures are really cute.
My favorite thing, I love doing the cat visits in the morning, you know, going from cat to cat to cat. And, you know, sharing the love, the kitty love, you know.
Catitude. Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going on vacation and if you need a pet sitter and, you know, if you need dog walks during the week, you need someone to drop in and say hello to your cats, or maybe you need somebody to stay in your house sitting while you're on vacation or
pet,
just head to the website, freebellyrubs.com, create your pet profile, tell us all about your pet. We'll set up a meet and greet. We'll come meet you beforehand and we'll send you off on vacation with peace of mind, so you don't have to worry about your family.
Do you send them photos while they're gone? Oh, that's so good.
Every day you get photos of your pet. We tell you the adventures that we're having with your pets while you're gone. And, you know, that gives you peace of mind. You know, you can go, Robbie, if you're sitting on the beach, wherever.
Well, it's nice to get that email and then your dog is smiling and getting a belly rub.
Right. And you're almost a little jealous. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh, hey, my dog's having way too much fun with Jimmy K. Darn it.
And it's not just me, too. I mean, we have an amazing staff of pet sitters. They're dedicated to the profession and they do a great job. Freebellyrubs.com. Create your calm now. Hope to see your dog or your cat soon, you know? All right, we're going to play some more music from Dogtown Hollow. These guys are absolutely fantastic. Yes. I love them. They got a show coming up at the Up North here in Madison on Thursday, January 23. Here's their song, Schwagenbaum. It's a town in Michigan. All right, it's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Age 22 from my guess it's here. About all he had to get out of here. Thumb in the air, he was headed my way. Like the February winds on a main highway. Steel blue eyes just like the sky. Up and over Knox Ridge, we did ride. An army jacket with a Batman patch. I was a ride that he did catch. Oh, he's hitching the town. World spinning round. Still coming down. Hearing those Acadian sounds. Skowhegan Mound. Sometimes all you need is a ride and a smoke. When it's went up and made it, ain't no.
Oh, he's hitching. junction, wondering which way to go. Two fates I will choose from, and though everything's at stake, the choice is mine to make alone. Choice is mine alone. Two boys, maybe brothers, approach, and there's something about the whole thing that just don't feel quite right. Seconds to make my decision, but the consequences will weigh upon me the rest of my life. The rest of my
Radio on Civic Media. We are local music. That's Kyle Wrightly. The song is called Brothers. Kyle is releasing a brand new EP. It's dropping March 15th. It's called Spiral Head. Let's get him on the show, Terry.
Okay.
Kyle Wrightly.
Let's do it. I'm writing it down right now. Kyle, you will be on the show.
Yes. To do.
March 15th for his brand new CD.
All right.
Jimmy Kay, Terry Barr, Rob Roberts.
Hello, hello.
Hanging in, keeping the show rolling here for Rocker tonight. We're going to have a chat with him in about an hour here. Rob, you do another radio show here at Madison, and one of my favorite segments on that show.
Yeah.
It's the Sheboygan Surf Report.
Oh, yeah. This morning. It was amazing.
Yeah.
The wind chill was rough, though. I got to tell you. it's rough, but they have these special gloves that let you hold the surfboard. Right. They like look like big V's.
So there is surfing happening right this time of year in Sheboygan. Yeah,
it, in Sheboygan and in Duluth. This is prime time.
Really?
This is when it's happening. I'll show you a video after everybody in Duluth going underneath the lift bridge, on the way in.
You have to live battery operated.
I'm not saying I'm doing it. I just report the weather, people.
Do you remember how big the waves were today?
They were up to 4 feet.
Four feet.
Yeah.
That is good surfing right
there.
Wow.
That's good, right?
Yeah. Who would have thought that Sheboygan was the surf capital of the Midwest?
It is. It's a big deal.
I love it. Mm. All right, 7:26, it is time for Bar Notes with Terry Barr.
I have a couple of really good ones, and these are things you can get involved with in the community. So I'm going to start with the community coming together for a fundraiser in support of the families impacted by the recent school shooting in Madison. Musician Madison Flatman says when she heard what happened at Abundant Life Christian School last month, she immediately started organizing a Harmony for Healing show.
I thought we were invincible with shootings. I thought it would never happen here. I thought it was always going to happen everywhere else until it didn't.
Yeah.
Finding out about the shooting and just everything, it was a lot for me to really comprehend. But what we can do in the meantime is be strong as a community, and that's what I'm really wanting to do with Harmony for Healing.
Isn't that incredible?
Many people want to have music that they can connect to after this. Music is like a connecting thing. It's always been something that I have personally used as a way to cope with my own traumas and my own things that I've gone through. And I was like, oh, well, that's great. I'm like, think would be a good idea. Would anyone be interested in it? Within 24 hours, I had 50 different musicians reach out to me wanting to be a part of it.
And are you blown away by that? That they're willing to help?
Absolutely blown
away. I'm so happy for your organizing. Again, that's musician Madison Flatman, and as you heard, she's the organizer of this thing. So many area musicians volunteering their time and talent to the show. She now has to have a two-day show, so it's happening Sunday, January 5th. And Sunday, January 12th, from noon to 6 both days at the Red Rooster on Madison's East Side. There's also going to be support groups on hand, poetry readings by some of the students from the school. And if you recall, 3 people died, including the suspect. 6 others were hurt. This other fundraiser I want to tell you about really quick, B-I-N-G-O. Yes, it's a bingo.
Oh, bingo.
Me too. Bingo fundraiser for Girls Rock Camp Madison. This is also happening at the Red Rooster on Saturday, January 18th. We heard Paige Kleber just a little bit ago, the little 11-year-old who's going to be a rock star. She and a couple of other young ladies are going to be performing along with Gin, Chocolate, and Bottle Rockets, the band that is based kind of out of Madison, Baraboo area. But it's just going to be a whole lot of fun. You know, great music and bingo. Woo. So again, that's at Red Rooster on January 18th. I'm Terry Barr with your Bar Notes.
Red 32, please. Red 32.
Bingo!
I get so competitive playing bingo.
I bet you do.
There's nothing you can really do. It's just a number. And,
right.
But
it's still super exciting when you get all of them, right? You're like, yes!
We're going to win bingo in just a couple of minutes because Rihanna Marie, she's here. We're going to have a chat with her. She's going to play a song for us. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Cheese, cranberries, beer, and great local music. This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Noah's Ark Pet Center is a little store on Madison's north side with a lot of character, where employees really get to know you and your pet's needs. But the best part? The kitten.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
We got something going here in Madison. Power play goal, Simon Tassie. 2-1 Wisconsin. Stops one and another again to his left. He scores. Oh, he ripped that one over the glove hand. William Grima, like an octopus in a broom closet.
We are America's college hockey capital.
The relentless resilient Red with another come from behind win.
Badger Hockey is brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. And by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. Welcome to the Badger Pregame Show.
Of Wrigley Field in Chicago, Illinois. Welcome to Wisconsin Badger Hockey. Tonight, the Big Ten series at the frozen confines featuring the Wisconsin Badgers and the top-ranked Michigan State Spartans. Zach Hargrove is our producer at our Learfield studios in Jefferson City, Missouri. Happy to have Spy Hill, Saskatchewan's very own Ian Perrin alongside. I'm Brian Posick. Well, we're standing inside Wrigley Field, about where the shortstop would play at a baseball game in the spring or summer. But this is January 4th of 2025, and this is the fourth of four collegiate hockey games played at this facility following the NHL's Winter Classic that was played on New Year's Eve. The St. Louis Blues blew out the Chicago Blackhawks. Yesterday, Ohio State knocked off Michigan. Notre Dame beat Penn State in a shootout, and as we speak, the top-ranked team in women's college hockey, the Wisconsin Badgers, rallied to force overtime against second-ranked Ohio State. They played a scoreless overtime session, and they're headed to a shootout to determine this game before Wisconsin and Michigan State square off. Our game originally scheduled to be played at about 8:05 Central Time tonight. More than likely, the game, Wisconsin-Michigan State, won't start until 8:30. Ian Perrin is with us, and I know, Ian, you said in Saskatchewan this morning it was 26 below. This is refreshing, isn't it?
Minus 27. Isn't that just a delightful thought? I would hate to be doing the game in Melville, Saskatchewan, for the Millionaires against the Yorkton Terriers, which is a big tilt tonight, by the way.
Yeah.
And But I'll enjoy the excitement of the women's game in the sense that we're 3-3 tie, going to overtime, nobody scores, now we've got the shootout.
Here's a shootout. Wisconsin will get the first crack at it. A backhand shot by Maggie Scannell, the freshman, is denied by the Ohio State goaltenders. So the Buckeyes will get their first shot on the shootout here to get the additional point in the WCHA standings. And why don't we just call the remainder of this game before we move along with our pregame show in regards to Wisconsin and Michigan State men's hockey. Buckeyes attacking Ava McNaughton, and a wrister from the slot off the glove of McNaughton and wide. So neither team converts on its initial shot attempt in this shootout. And now the Wisconsin Badgers will try again. It ended in a 3-3 tie after overtime. Ohio State 39 shots on goal, Wisconsin 34. Here's Lacey Eden. Eden, two goals Thursday night in the Wisconsin women's win over Ohio State, 6-0. Eden tries to go upstairs and instead shoots it into the glove of the Ohio State netminder. So the Buckeyes now with a chance to take the lead. Their second try in the shootout.
This game has had a little bit of everything. Come from behind, tie it up. They had a penalty against Wisconsin for too many men on the ice in the overtime period.
Now Ohio State, big lefty coming down the middle and fires one off the pad of McNaughton, still scoreless in this shootout. And the Wisconsin Badgers will send out Kirsten Sims, an All-American a year ago, one of the finalists for the Patty Kazmaier Award as the nation's top player. Sims picks up the puck at center ice, veers off to her right, coming down the middle of the avenue, and she lost the puck and never got a shot off. She stick-handled a bit too much through the slot, and it crawled off her stick. When she did shoot the puck, she was below the goal line. Didn't matter, so Ohio State can win the shootout here, Ian.
This will be the determining factor.
No, last night, Notre Dame and Penn State on the men's side went eight rounds in a shootout before the Irish won. And Ohio State denied as their puck handler mishandled a bit and got too deep, never got a clean shot off. Layla Edwards will come out for Wisconsin.
Here we go.
The MVP of the World Championship a year ago for Team USA, Layla Edwards,
Got a great set of mitts.
And, boy, you can feel the buzz here at Wrigley Field as Edwards comes down the middle looking and tries to get a backhander off and does, and it's stuck underneath the right pad of the Buckeyes goaltender. Still scoreless here in the shootout. And you're joining us here on the Badger Sports Network, the Varsity Network app. We're preparing for Wisconsin and Michigan State at the frozen confines of Wrigley Field. A game scheduled to start at 8 o'clock, but it'll be more like 8:30 or so. Ohio State now with a chance to win the shootout again, and McNaughton closes the door with the pads. Still scoreless in this shootout.
If they go through the whole bench, does Mark Johnson get a chance to play?
I would like to see that.
Oh, that would be just sweet.
Very much would like to see that. Here comes Caroline Harvey. She scored the first goal of the game today for Wisconsin. Harvey, the left-handed defenseman, and she looked up to shoot the puck, and it crawled right off her stick and went to the wall. She never got the shot off. Goodness.
Second two out of four for Wisconsin have never gotten the shot off.
And now McKenna Webster, the former Wisconsin Badger, little right-handed centerman, will come down the middle. Beers off to her left, in on McNaughton, backhand, rising shot denied by McNaughton with a right shoulder and covers. So still scoreless here in the shootout.
That was Quinn Finley-esque. Go to the backhand, trying to go top shelf. Nice play.
Wisconsin women trying to improve to, well, they're 21-1 right now. Gorbatenko with a snapshot, and she's denied. Ohio State again with a chance to win it. The Badger women won on Thursday 6-0 against Ohio State and improved to 20-1 this season. This game will go down as a tie, so the Badger women are 21-1. Buckeyes try again to win it. And McNaughton able to close the door. Buckeyes shoot it just over the top of the crossbar. All right, Wisconsin with another chance to take the lead in the shootout. Here comes Lanny Potter. Potter comes down left wing with speed, gets a backhander. No, she fanned on her backhander. Oh, the Badgers having problems putting the puck on net. Oh.
I think we got to pull a rabbit out of the hat. Just get down to the top of the circles and wind up for the big slap driver.
Right, just put a clapper on. All right, again, the Buckeyes with a chance against Ava McNaughton. They go five-hole and score, and Ohio State wins the shootout and takes the extra point. The Buckeyes will celebrate on the frozen confines of Wrigley Field.
Nice.
Badgers
answer.
Rallied to force overtime on a goal by Chicago area native Kelly Gorbatenko, but the Buckeyes prevail in a shootout here against the Wisconsin Badgers. All right, Ian, Wisconsin and Michigan State tonight. We're standing in one of the most iconic ballparks in all of the country, one of the most iconic stadiums in all the world. You're a baseball nut, a baseball Hall of Famer in Canada. What you thinking right now?
Well, you know, and 35 years ago or 30 years ago when I used to come here on a regular basis a couple times a year, there's always been one question that I've never been able to answer, and who is the guy up in the scoreboard that peeps through those little holes up there in center field?
Right?
That has been my biggest mystery. But, no, I think they've done a marvelous job here setting the rink so that a majority of the fans can watch.
Yep.
You know, and have relatively good sight lines. That's not so the case in a baseball field converted to a hockey rink in most situations, but the fact of the matter being is I think they've done a marvelous job here, and if they could have just controlled the weather, we'd be a lot better off.
Yep, it is a little chilly. The low is expected to be close to 10 degrees. It's a little windy, more so above the playing surface. It's more so in the stands where it can really whip through the grandstand, so the fans might have some issues trying to stay warm. Ian and I are actually standing right next to the ice. This is about as close as I've ever been to call a hockey game in my life. What do you think?
Well, except for the fake ivy on the boards, I think it's a good perspective. The fact that I'm assuming we're going to be in the end that Wisconsin will defend twice, two ends this end of the rink. I'm not 100% sure on that, but the fact of the matter being is that it's been a long time since I've been at ice level, except when I was a coach.
Sure. and this will be fun. It's going to take some time to resurface the ice, and then both Wisconsin and Michigan State will get a chance to warm up. And again, it seems like our game won't be starting until closer to 8:30 here this evening, so we've got an extended pregame show for sure.
Yeah. And you know, you said they're going to have to make ice. You'll notice that during the women's game, I didn't see it so much last night in the Big Ten games.
Yep.
But a lot of guys out here with little buckets of ice patching what I would consider to be significant holes or significant cracks, whatever the case may be. And that may play a factor going into this game.
Yeah, it'll be the fifth game in 5 days on this ice surface. Again, starting on New Year's Eve with the Winter Classic between the Blackhawks and the Blues, and then concluding tonight with Wisconsin and Michigan State. The Badgers head into tonight's game with a 9-11-1 record, a 5-8 mark in the Big Ten, currently tied for third place in the conference with Ohio State with 19 points. 3 points behind second place Michigan State, 5 points behind first place Minnesota. The Badgers suffered a 4-3 loss at Michigan State on Thursday night, the first regulation loss for Wisconsin in the last 12 games. Ian, the Badgers had a 3-1 lead, looked like they were in good position to beat the top-ranked team in the country on their home ice, but give the Spartans some credit. They found a way to rally and beat Wisconsin on Thursday night.
Yeah, they did. I got a chance to watch it, and I don't know what causes it or what effect it has on the players, Wisconsin players, so to leave. But that probably eight-minute span in the third period where they kind of went brain dead,
yep,
is what I would call it. It wasn't from lack of energy. It wasn't from lack of work. It's just making poor decisions when the game's really tight that cost them.
It was the second time this season the Badgers have blown a two-goal lead against Michigan State and lost. It's the third time this season the Badgers had a two-goal lead in a game and lost. They also fell to Minnesota back in November at the Kohl Center. Meanwhile, Michigan State ranked number one in the country, off to its best start since the 2000-2001 season. The Spartans are 16-2-1, 7-1-1 in the Big Ten, and they're the second-best defensive team in the country, giving up less than 2 goals per game at 1.8. Meanwhile, the Badgers averaging 3 goals a game, giving up 2.5 per contest. Tommy Scarfone will get the starting goal tonight. The senior from Montreal, his record is 8-7-1 with a 2.16 goals against, a 9.17 save percentage. He suffered his first regulation loss since October 25th at Denver, giving up 4 goals on 36 shots against Michigan State on Thursday night. The Spartans will go with sophomore Luca DePasquo, who's 5-0 with a goals against of 1.0 and a save percentage of 9.55. He's playing in place of Trey Augustine, who's currently playing for the United States of the World Junior Championship in Ottawa. And we look up at the Jumbotron here at friendly confines, and we see that the Wisconsin-Michigan State game will start in 52 minutes, meaning that's it's 7:44 right now. Yeah, we'll be starting around
8:30-ish.
Yeah, 8:30 or so. So we've got a long pregame show that we get to do here.
Yes, we very much
Ian.
Do. As I'm just standing here, and again, this is the first time that I've ever been ringside at an outdoor game, and I look up in the stands and I see something different about Wrigley Field technology.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yep.
Those huge scoreboards, or whatever you'd like to call them. There are three cameras going from top to bottom that are on cables. I don't ever remember that during a Cubs game.
Well, they put lights in this facility back in 1988, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
That was the first time that there was night baseball at the corner of Addison and Clark. And now it's a fixture here. The lights are on, obviously, here in the middle of the night on the north side of Chicago. But yeah, when I first walked in here in 1978 to watch a doubleheader between the Reds and the Cubs and watch Johnny Bench hit 3 home runs in the doubleheader and Dave Kingman 4, there were no light stanchions. There certainly were no ring beams or jumbotrons. It was the man-operated scoreboard that is still standing straightaway center field. And you didn't have all the brilliant lights and the additional sponsorship ads along the brick wall behind home plate. It's an entirely different look than when you and I were kids.
Well, I would honestly say that as we look over at Taste TV Trade, Advocate, Granger, and Budweiser.
Yes.
I would like to know how much it costs to put those signs up in the outfield underneath the scoreboard here at Chicago. Yes, it's become very much more commercialized. And just a little bit of a humorous story. The first time that I ever came here, I brought my good friend George Fabian and his son Tony to watch Terry Poole play. And Terry said, well, I'll put four tickets at will call for you. So I went up to the will call window, and in those days the Cubs weren't drawing squat, to say the least. And I said, my name's Ian Perrin. I'm supposed to have four tickets from Terry Poole. And he goes, no, I don't have anything for Perrin, and I don't have anything for Poole. Pick another name. I said, Smith. He goes, oh, we got four right here for Smith. So some Smith probably didn't get four complimentary tickets, but I did in his name. And that's how informal it was in those days.
Sure. Ian Perrin, former teammates of Terry Poole, an all-star outfielder with the Houston Astros. They grew up together in Saskatchewan, played baseball for a long time. And, yeah, what a thrill that must have been to see your good friend playing baseball out here at Wrigley.
Yeah, you know, and it had compound benefits when you say that, because there were a couple other guys on our team that one was going to the University of Saskatchewan, one was going to Regina University, and one was, I think, just a farmer in someplace in rural Manitoba. And every year they would have their, we would have our baseball friends tour.
Sure.
And they would all come to Madison, leech off of me for 2 days. Then we'd come down here and watch two days of baseball down here, and then we'd go back and I'd show them what campus life was like at UW-Madison, and they were all going, why did I not come here? This was the greatest place in the world.
Yeah.
That fact that they were eating and drinking and leaving and living off of me, I think, might have had a significant issue. I should have had a significant issue, but when you only get to see people once a year, they're good high school friends, all to it, it was a great time for everybody involved.
So the ice rink here at Wrigley Field, it stretches from the right field side to the left field side. If you're thinking baseball, it's basically first base to third base, if you will. Right behind Ian and I, where we're positioned right down by the ice, is the home plate press box. A lot of the TV dudes are up there, Dan Kelly and Ben Clymer.
Sweating.
Sweating, staying nice and toasty warm, while Ian Perrin and I and Scott Moore and Rob Woodward from Michigan State Radio are down here right along the glass. We'll have a fantastic view of this hockey game tonight between Wisconsin and Michigan State. You know, outdoor college hockey dates back to 2001 when Michigan and Michigan State met in what was called the Cold War at Spartan Stadium in East Lansing. It was October 6th of 2001. 74,554 fans watched the Spartans and the Wolverines play to a 3-3 overtime tie. The second collegiate outdoor game was played at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, the Frozen Tundra Hockey Classic between Wisconsin and Ohio State. At the time, the Buckeyes were in the old CCHA. It was February 11th, 2006. 40,890 fans were on hand. And you may recall Adam Burrish scored right away in the first period. Badgers had a 1-0 lead. Kyle Klubertanz scored on a power play early in the second period to give Wisconsin a 2-1 advantage. Andrew Jodry scored 7 minutes into the third. Wisconsin had a 3-1 lead at that point. Robbie Earl added an empty net in the final minute. And Shane Connolly made 18 saves as Wisconsin beat Ohio State 4-2 at Lambeau Field. And I still remember Jeff Likens doing a Lambeau leap after the game. Remember that?
Yeah, I was at the game. And ironically, the funny part for me was when I look back on that, this is a name from the past, a name from my days in WTSO.
Chris Moore and his wife were in town, and we ended up driving to Green Bay. The two couples driving to Green Bay, and Chris Moore goes, I hope I never, ever have to broadcast an outdoor game.
Yeah, I remember we were up in the press box, the Packers radio booth, actually, where Wayne Larrabee and Larry McCarron call the game. So that was pretty comfortable. The next outdoor game that Wisconsin played in was February 6th of 2010, the Camp Randall Hockey Classic at Camp Randall Stadium, Wisconsin and Michigan. 55,031 fans on hand for that one. You may recall Jordy Murray scored 3 minutes into the game. Wisconsin had a 1-0 lead. Michigan tied it after two and then took the lead with 9 minutes left. The Wolverines on top, but then Brendan Smith had power play goals at 14-28 and 18-38. Scott Goodmanson made 22 saves, and Wisconsin beat Red Berenson's Wolverines 3-2 that day at Camp Randall Stadium, and that was frigid cold that day.
I imagine a person of Red's age at that, even at that point in time, was not real pleased with being there.
I don't think so. You may recall the Wisconsin women played that afternoon and beat Bemidji State 6-1 at Camp Randall. December 11th, 2010, Michigan and Michigan State met outside again. The big chill in the big house, Michigan Stadium, 104,173 fans watched the Wolverines shut out the Spartans that day 5-0. Wisconsin's played three outdoor games. The most recent was February 17th of 2013, the Hockey City Classic at Soldier Field, home of the Bears. Wisconsin played Minnesota in front of 52,051 fans. Scoreless after one period, Wisconsin scored three goals in a three-minute span, roughly, late in the second period. Kevin Scholes, John Ramage, and Sean Little scored. Yo. Wisconsin was up 3-0 after two. They held on to beat the Golden Gophers that day at Soldier Field 3-2 behind the goaltending of Joel Rumpel, who made 36 saves.
Boy, there's some names.
You're right. And then Michigan State played Michigan Tech in the Great Lakes Invitational at Comerica Park in Detroit in 2013. Also played Michigan the following day at Comerica Park. And Michigan and Michigan State also played in the Hockey City Classic at Soldier Field in 2015. Michigan State in outdoor games, one win, two losses, two ties. Wisconsin is a perfect 3-0. The Badgers hope to win again outside, this time in a baseball stadium, Wrigley Field in Chicago, the frozen confines, Wisconsin and Michigan State. Still about 43 minutes away from the opening faceoff, Ian Perrin and I kind of dancing around down by the ice surface, trying to keep our toes and everything else as warm as possible. We've got a little mini space heater down below us, but Ian has
You have a little
I have
mini
one, yes,
space
yes,
heater.
I'm hogging it. Ian, though, has a battery-operated vest, an electric vest that your daughter bought for you. Is that correct, Ian?
Yes, it was. It was my Christmas gift, and I almost forgot about it, but she reminded me of it. And just so you know, that it has three settings, and I set it as
roasting
hot as it can be. So if you start seeing sweat come out from underneath my armpits, then we're in good shape.
Funny, funny. So, yeah, we've got some time here before the Badgers and the Spartans square off in this outdoor game at Wrigley Field. Nice-looking crowd had filed in for the end of the women's game. Everybody kind of seated in the upper deck of Wrigley Field or in the lower grandstands off the field. There's no reason to sit down by the field itself because you wouldn't be able to see the ice surface worth a lick.
Not worth the effort that you're going to have to sit down, stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down, stand up to watch all the action that is going to happen here. But you're right. I was impressed with how many upper deck people are here. It is a long ways away. But after sitting in the press box for the first two periods of the women's game, yeah, I will honestly say it was relatively easy to differentiate numbers and names,
sure,
and everything else.
So it was will face off here in about 40 minutes or so at the frozen confines of Wrigley Field. What we'll do, we'll take our first break here tonight, and when we come back, we'll hear from Wisconsin head coach Mike Hastings. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores!
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores! Badgers answer right back!
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have you made New Year's resolutions such as exercising more or learning a new skill? Why not add some financial resolutions? For starters, try to reduce your debt load. You'll improve your cash flow and have more to invest. See whether you can boost your pre-tax contributions to your traditional IRA and 401k. Once you're 50, you can even make catch-up contributions. If you have an education goal, consider investing in a tax-advantaged 529 education savings plan. Also, try to build an emergency fund containing up to 6 months' worth of living expenses, with the money kept in a liquid, low-risk account. Finally, even if you're relatively young, it's good to have your estate plans in order. And if you've already created these plans, you may want to review them, especially if you've had changes in your family situation involving marriage, divorce, or birth of children or grandchildren. You may not be able to tackle all these resolutions in 2025, but by addressing as many of them as possible, you can make progress towards your goals and set yourself on a positive course for the future. This is Clay Kanoki, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 715-421-0958. Member SIPC.
At Council.
We're at Wrigley Field in Chicago. The Wisconsin Badgers getting set to take on the Michigan State Spartans in the Big Ten Hockey Series at the Frozen Confines, joined now by head coach Mike Hastings. And boy, this is fun, isn't it? Just standing in the middle of Wrigley Field.
Pretty surreal, actually. You know, you and I were talking before we got on air. Been in here. It's usually warmer when we come and watch a ball game than what it is right now. But, yeah, this is we want to try and make this a real memory for our entire group.
Yeah, and the guys are throwing the ball around a little bit and playing catch over by the ivy and what have you. And, yeah, you got to take it all in. This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yeah, you know what? The guys are usually – we're in pretty perfect situations for the majority of our games as far as the ice sheet's perfect, setting. You have your own crowd. This is going to be a little bit different for them, but everybody's had their own experience here in Cubbyville or in Chicago, and we've got some guys that have grown up in this area, and it's just part of history. So for us to be able to have an opportunity to come here and represent the University of Wisconsin, we've got to put our best foot forward and be excited about the entire experience.
Yeah. I know Nate LaPointe has the guys all outfitted, so they'll be ready to go, and they're young lads too. They can probably fight through the cold and what have you. How about you and your staff?
Yeah, you know what? We're going along for the ride, as you usually do. So our group's been really good this year at just turning the page and going on to the next. And so tonight, you know, buckle up as coaches, because there's going to be a lot of imperfections and things that happen. And just, you know, got to rely on each other and take it 5 minutes at a time and enjoy it.
Yeah. You went through this while you were coaching at Minnesota State, played outside in Mankato on a football field. Do you draw from that experience as a head coach at all? Can that help you?
Well, a little bit of, you know, everything's different. The communication with the players, it's We're going to have some extended, breaks during the game with TV. It's going